Before you're seated, we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and as we shared with you, we're looking to consider from this text of Scripture some items that will cause us to be faithful in the year ahead. And when you look through this, you'll see that the word walk appears three times. They seem to be three steps towards that sense of being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Or as three prerequisites, if you want to call it that, three things that are part of that filling of the Holy Spirit that verse 18 speaks about. So verses 1 through 20 is what we'd like to consider in our reading today. Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will give us instruction and much understanding. Help us, Father, to be transformed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, if you looked closely as we read through the text, you saw the three places where the word walk appears. The first segment is in verses 1 through 7, where we're to walk in love. The second one is where we see walking as children of light in verses 8 through 14. And then finally, walk circumspectly in verses 15 through 20. So three walks. Now, walking is an interesting thing. When we're supposed to walk in love, that is a sphere of love. There's to be a sense of the atmosphere of all you do. And God's going to explain what that looks like. And of course, he says, walk as children of light. If you got light within, then walk as children of light. And of course, it's always good to walk with a light on, isn't it? Be able to see where you're going. When the light's off, you have a little trouble getting around because you don't see the things that will trip you up. And yet God calls us to walk as children of light, which is deliberately and being able to observe and see what you're doing and where you're going. Of course, walking circumspectly because you can see, you therefore are able to appear to the world as one who has a path. You've got a purpose and a task to accomplish. So as we look at verses 1 through 7, walk in love. Why? Because we're to be imitators of God. Walk in love because we're imitators of God. And what we'll celebrate at the communion table is what is being pictured by what Paul is challenging us with here. Verses 8 through 14, as we shared, walk as children of light, because you are light, is what God says in that text. He's made you different. You're different than the world in which you work and live and dwell and have your being. You are light. That's a challenge. Then he says, we're to walk circumspectly, verses 15 through 20. So he says, therefore, be seeing. Keep your eyes open. It is a great passage of Scripture. I want or desire today to not necessarily take this and just preach it as much as let it preach itself, because I want it to be God's Word. want to let it be unfolded before you, and I trust you'll find something within this that will encourage your heart this year. Maybe you're saying, what should I do this year? What's my purpose? Where do I go? What do I do? At the end, we'll show you one more little trilogy in this text of Scripture that I trust will give you that sense of a theme for the year ahead. So listen closely, and we'll share that with you as we come to the end. First of all, he says in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Let that sink in for a moment. What is it to imitate God? The word imitate means to mimic. It's the word we get the word mimic from, mimetai. It's the idea of seeing God do something, therefore I will do like he does. And it says, as dear children. But the amazing thing here is he doesn't say be an imitator of me. He can say that and does it in other texts. And interestingly enough, the imitators of God or be imitators of Christ appears many times in the Word of God. Can you imagine what it would be if everyone in this church went through the coming year imitating God? What would that look like? Now, God is incomprehensible as far as we're concerned. We cannot think of everything about what he is. We'll be learning about him for eternity. We saw that in Holy, Holy, Holy. What is the Trinity? We'd have a hard time explaining the triunity of God and the persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We have a hard time explaining that because it's not like anything else we know in our life and experience. We are to imitate this God who is beyond our imagination? Yes. Just as little children imitate their parents. As a dear child, one who is the object of a parent's love. What does a little child do? A little child follows daddy and mommy around, especially when things are going well. A little child's being compliant. The child follows dad and mom around, and if dad does a handshake, the son is going to do a handshake too. Why? Because dad does it. I've seen him do it. So therefore, if he can do it, I can too. If dad salutes, the child can salute. If mom folds the laundry, the child can fold the laundry. They do things naturally because they are a child. Now, young people, I know this is a rude awakening every time this happens. But when you find yourself sounding like your mom or your dad, or you find yourself acting like your mom or your dad, or using similar expressions, I know it can be discouraging. Because you say, oh, that's my parent. I know I heard that before. But you know why you do that? It's because you're their child. It's a good thing, even though you may not think of it at that moment. It's a natural thing. And so what Paul is saying here to us all as believers, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have a heavenly Father and you have his DNA. Therefore, intend to be an imitator of God, as dear, precious children always are. Others watch little children as they follow their parents around. My mother is doing this now. She lives at my sister's house. My sister has a little daughter named Isabella. And Isabella will follow her around. And mom calls her shadow everywhere she goes. Do you want to know something about what my mom thinks? She's just like every other grandma here. She thinks that the world rises and sets upon that little imitator of her mother, Isabella. And as she watches her move around, it is a joy to her. Believers, when you follow and obey Jesus Christ, when you intentionally imitate him, the intent is for others to see this and not just say, oh, how cute and oh, how precious, but to see the image of the Father in you. That's what the text is telling us. Be imitators of God. How? As dear children, and walk in love. What kind of love? It's displayed here before us at this communion table. The Bible says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave up himself for us. What a phrase. Giving something is often with an intent of, you know, having it returned or something along those lines. You share. You give something because it helps or assists somebody, but you'd like it back in the same way that you gave it. That's intentionally what we do it with friends. We try not to let them down. We try to treat their things as if they're our own, and we get them back to them in good shape. That's not what this word love is about. It is the fact that Jesus Christ gave himself, but not just put himself out there. giving himself. He gave up himself, meaning all of him. He gave up his own purpose to follow his Father. But you know what also is impressive here? He didn't just do it for a nebulous generosity. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, let this sink in. Jesus Christ gave up himself for you. The eternal Son of God, the infinite Son of God, the sinless Son of God, gave up himself for us in general? No, for us. This body of believers, those who know Christ as Savior, within this body of believers, the Lord Jesus Christ gave up himself for you. That's an amazing, humbling concept. What was that giving up of himself? The scriptures tell us. And goes on to explain this kind of love that we're to be imitating God with. He says he gave up himself for us, an offering. The word offering here is the idea of being consumed, to be burned, to be given up completely, to be lost, if you want to call it that. It's the idea of a sacrifice which is carried to something. In other words, as in the Old Testament, the Old Testament saint would carry a lamb to the sacrifice, and that lamb would be carried to its own death for its own sacrifice, for the purpose of worshiping the Father. And when we see this work of Christ, he gave up himself, he became an offering, being carried to the place of sacrifice, and then literally the word sacrifice that we see there, sacrifice to God, means to kill, to immolate, to be the put to death. And so he was born to that place, and he was put to death, that place of judgment, the place we know as Calvary, as a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling aroma. In other words, what he did was to please the Father. But in the meantime, there was no measure of protection for him as he took our place under the wrath of God. The wrath of God was unmitigated as it was poured out upon the very Son of God, because he was paying the penalty for your sin. That is the love in which children of God are to walk. And that is the kind of love that we are to be imitating the Father by obeying and by living out in our life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Think about what it is to imitate a holy God. And the easiest way to see that imitation of a holy God is to see your life of love as the Lord Jesus Christ displayed. He led the way. He showed you what it looks like. And many times when we tell our spouse or we tell our children, I love you, we aren't thinking very often of giving up ourselves for them, are we? And yet among all people on this earth, Christians ought to know what it means to say to someone, I love you. Shouldn't we? Because Jesus Christ showed us that. That's an amazing concept. Imitate the love of God. That's the first step. And of course, he goes on to explain that we are to be doing this in a fitting way because we are children of God. Verse 3, but fornication, that would be sexual license. It would be that which would not fall under the category of what would be approved by God in his word. And it's pretty simple in the word of God what God says to do with our bodies in pleasing him. And yet this world is not that way. Instead, it says all fornication, all manner, all kind of uncleanness. You know, literally what this is doing is sounding a lot like our culture today. All manner of uncleanness means it's out there. It's everywhere. There's no shame anymore in our society. It's getting worse and worse in that way. It's because we're losing and lifting ourselves from the morality of the word, right and wrong, and basically saying, just try anything. And what God is saying here through Paul is believers need to love the Lord because he loved us so much that we live a life that desires to be sin-free. And in so doing, don't be like the lost world. Be different. So he says that sexual immorality, the uncleanness or covetousness, this idea of avarice or desire for everything to have more. He says all these things, let them not even be mentioned, named. Don't even let it be a rumor or something that would be able to sound possible by you or me. Live in such a way that we live with a clean reputation because of who God is. We're imitating His love, giving up ourselves for the Lord. The opposite of giving up ourselves is taking things for ourselves. That's what these other things are, aren't they? Fornication is because I want it. Uncleanness, because I want it. Covetousness, because I want more. And so what he's saying here is, these things are not fitting for the saint. It's fitting to live in sacrificial love, but it is not fitting to be selfish. Remember that selfishness is the root of evil. It's the root of sin, isn't it? It runs deep. That selfishness is there. And ultimately, there's that pride of heart that bursts forth from it. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. You know, this list of words, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, these are words that are really kind of lost to us today. Isn't it amazing that we can gather in a local church and not hear a curse word? It's a wonderful thing. And I love that. It is a refreshing thing. Because I know that when you go out into this lost world, everywhere you go, every day of the week, you get bombarded by taking the Lord's name in vain. You get bombarded with filthiness. It's within. There was an article, and I think I'm thinking about bringing it tonight that and sharing it with you as we start our Bible study tonight. It asks the question, is man really basically good on the inside? And it speaks of it from the Scriptures. There's a kindness sometimes. But is man really basically good? When it comes right down to it, look at what pours out of the lips. And what does Christ say about what pours out of our lips? He says it because it comes from the heart. It's deep within the well, in the center of who we are. And that's why these things pour out of the lips. If you just take that as a temperature of our society today, you know that filthiness is really the root of it, isn't it? That is the society in which you and I must live and live imitating Christ. Filthiness, foolish talking is another word that's just, it starts with, it's actually in the Greek language, morologia. Moro, moron, we know that word. Foolish means just what it says. Foolish speaking, which is like a moronic talk. It's speaking to be heard without really anything deep, without anything of value. And you know, that really is the society in which we live too. Do you ever ask anybody about what's going on in politics as you work alongside them? And they say, oh, I don't know, but I was watching whatever show and I was amazed at that. Well, talk about foolishness. The real issues of our day, they have no clue. Why? Because this is our society in which we live. Christians ought not to be that way, especially when it comes to things of God. Coarse jesting is the idea of a quickly turned phrase, something that's just like a quirkish word that is easily turned. It's got maybe a double meaning, double entendre, double, you know, if you think about it long enough, you realize that there was something else at the root of what was being said. Believers ought to be living in such a way that our speech is never moronic. Our speech is never filthy. Our speech is never that quick turn of a phrase that makes somebody say, huh, wonder what he meant. Wonder what he thinks of me. You see, if our Lord is clear, then we ought to be. You see, he goes on to say this. He says that rather, instead, our lives should be full of thanks. For this you know, and he says, here's the reason why all this is very important. This you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. In the Greek language, it means you know by precept as well as by activity. You know by principle and by experience. You know this. There is no doubt at all that those who live as fornicators, a guy who's selling himself for sexual immorality is the word. Unclean person. This is someone unclean in heart and in life. Then he goes on to say this. The covetous man or an idolater has any inheritance in the two kingdoms. And you know, as we've been studying the kingdom, we were looking at the book of Revelation. There is a millennial kingdom, kingdom of Christ and of God. There's one that is this coming millennial kingdom. We know, according to Matthew 5 through 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, the kind of quality of people that will go into that millennial 1,000-year rule reign of Christ. And we also know, as we study the Scriptures, the kind of quality of people that will go into heaven. Believers, understand that God says you know it by experience and by precept that people who live that way are unborn again. They're not saved. So believers must live a saved life, one that appears to be imitating your Father in heaven, because that's fitting. Everything else is not. And I know this is a challenge. I know that you will be misunderstood. I know that that this really is a battle. In the year 2013, it may very well be more of a conscious struggle and challenge for you to stand for Christ wherever He puts you. But understand this, it is fitting to be an imitator of God. That's fitting. That is fitting. The second thing we see as we work our way through here is, look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be a partakers with them. Don't let anybody change your way of thinking, I'm going to imitate God. But he says in verse 8, then, that you are light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You know, it's an interesting thing that in other texts we know that we bear the light of the gospel. We bear the truth. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We are changed and transformed the moment we trust Christ as Savior. But this verse is telling you something a little bit different. It's telling you from the standpoint of you don't just hold the light, but you are the light. Everywhere you go, you are the light. You have this light from God. And so you cannot be hidden. You can't walk into a dark place and not stand out. You can't help it. You are light. Therefore, walk as children of light. You know, a children of light walk differently than children of darkness. Children of light, and this is the beauty of a Sunday morning, isn't it? You walk in here and it's bright and cheery. Sun is coming in through the windows. You can recognize each other. You know that, you know, who was here today and who was missing last week, because you know, you can see. It's great to be a child of light in the sense of being able to see each other and know that you're not going to bump into each other, but you can greet each other and you can treat each other as somebody who recognizes someone. You have a relationship with them. And so it's a joyful thing. You know, when you're sitting with a family gathering, you turn on the lights to see each other. Company comes. What do? You turn on the lights in the living room, all sit down and talk. Light is something precious. We are children of light. Let's value that. Let us walk in light as God calls us to do. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. You know, I'm hoping you're picking up things that are good for you for the year ahead. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. Wouldn't it be great to be an imitator of God? Wouldn't it be great to fill your thinking time with goodness, righteousness, and truth? Wouldn't it be incredible if everybody who bumped into you saw the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the truth of God, because you're living as a child of light? Those three things are amazing concepts. God is good, God is righteous, God is true. God calls us to live in the goodness that reflects His goodness, in the righteousness that reflects His holy standard of living, in the truth, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other truth. We need to understand that this is a precious gift from the Holy Spirit. You know, the lost world is really called in the Scriptures children of darkness, and there's a reason for that. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have that sense of goodness, righteousness, or truth. They don't have those guidelines. They may, by God's grace, have had good parents that give them a good set of rules and a moral code. But when it comes to really applying those things in terms that relate to things of eternity and real moment before God, they don't know what to do with those truths. They struggle. They become inconsistent. They become hypocritical. They become someone who might hold this on one hand and this on the other hand, and they can't see the conflict. Believers, let that not be said of us. We have the rock of our salvation, who is the eternal good and righteous and true. Let us walk as children of light. Because we're to imitate God, we're to appear, and we bear the light that God has for us to bear in the world. He goes on to explain that a little bit further, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. In other words, testing, approving. You are to judge. You are to discern. You are to walk through this life with your brain attached and working. Observe your world. Think it through. Filter it through the Word of God. And observe and test, he says, finding out what is the acceptable, the well-pleasing to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The word expose is an interesting word. I pulled out Wiersbe's commentary. I want to share with you what he has to say about this word expose. And it is a fascinating word. It's a successful word. It's a challenging word. And it carries something a little bit more than what you normally might think. He says reprove, this word expose, to reprove or rebuke so as to bring out conviction or confession of guilt. In other words, we don't just walk through this life with an intention of just being a martyr that nobody ever sees or recognizes. But there is a purpose, there is a task, and that is to be a refiner of men. We're to be refined by the Lord, to be filtered and to be turned to gold by the Lord, but we're also to be involved with men who are lost. And as we're involved with them, our life is to reprove, because we're children of light. Turn on that light bulb. Trench goes on to say that this word implies not merely the charge, but the truth of the charge. In other words, reprove. Not just being miserable, because you can be, but you're actually pointing out truth. And then that reproving teaches the truth of the charge. Then he goes on to say, and further, the manifestation of the truth of the charge. Nay, more than all this, very often also the acknowledgement, if not outward, yet inward, of its truth and on the part of the accused, it being the glorious prerogative of the truth in its highest operation, not merely to assert itself, but to silence the adversary, to silence him by convincing him of his error. The Bible tells us we're supposed to study the Scriptures, to show ourselves a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because we're to be in the business of confronting evil and darkness in the world, which means know the truth and use that truth to confront evil in such a way that it leads to repentance. That's the call of a saint, isn't it? It's what the gospel is. We're sinners that need to learn we're sinners, and we're condemned before an almighty and holy God, and therefore the call upon us is to repent and to lay all our lives into his hands and to trust him. So he says, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, and this might be a hymn from the early church. You imagine him singing a hymn like this today. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What a great phrase. That's what God did when he saved you, and that is the role you have as a testimony of Jesus Christ to this lost world. You are bringing out this lesson as a truth bearer, as a light bearer. Awake, you sleep. Be awakened, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you this light that I have within. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We're light bearers. The final thing we see here is verse 15 through 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know, if we're imitating God and following him, we're following his lead. If we're children of light, we're walking in light. And it says, see, take notice, make sure that you walk circumspectly. If you really have the light turned on, then don't close your eyes and try to walk through life. I don't know if it's like this at your home, but in our household, you know, we don't wear shoes much around inside the house. And so shoes get taken off maybe at the front door. They might get dropped beside the bed. They could be anywhere. And so I'm one of these guys who has to, you know, depending upon my eyes a lot to see, and I can't see real well. So I'll go walking along, and all of a sudden I'm tripping over slippers, or I'm tripping over shoes, or I'm tripping over something, and I don't look too brilliant. It's not a good thing. I'm kind of sad that I live that way, and I haven't learned the lesson yet, have I? And my wife will tell you, you know, you get up and you walk around in the bedroom without the light on, and you find the slippers, or you find the sandals, or you find the shoes, or something. And they're always out there. Is this the way it is in your house? Believers, what the Lord is saying is, when you're walking through life, don't just go walking along and like someone who can't quite see, and assume that where you're going, you know what you're doing, but your eyes are closed. How silly do we look, Christians, to a lost, watching world when we look idiotic in our Christianity and in our testimony. Walk circumspectly. Of all the people in the world who walk in darkness, ought not Christians to walk like people who can see? We should. So he says, see to it that you walk circumspectly, meaning carefully, with the ability to get through your life well. Christians should not be failures before a lost world. Now, the world might not be valuing failure the same way we do, because they do look at Christians as being failures to begin with. They don't understand what we're about. And they don't understand what really gives you joy in life. They don't understand what the Lordship of Christ is and the preciousness of that. They don't know why you would follow the Lord, but they do understand when a person has a direction and he does it well. They do understand when a person is successful in getting to his life's goal. They do understand when a Christian is the same in his speech and in his actions. They do understand that when a Christian is consistent in his beliefs and his application of those beliefs. They do understand that. And they will hold you with high regard as a holy person when their life comes crumbling down. Why? Because they know you pray. Because God means something to you. And to you, God's real. To them, they can only hope He is. So they'll come to you with their prayer requests. They'll come when their life comes crashing down because they know that your life is walking circumspectly. That's what Paul is saying here. Why do we do this? Not as fools, but as wise. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word evil means that there's an atmosphere to the world that is sinful. It is evil. It's got this, it's almost that oppressive air you breathe. Everywhere you go, the world's lost. You see that and hear it and feel it, and you see the evidences of it every day. A hopelessness. He says, so therefore our job is to buy back the time. The word time here means the seasonable moments. It's not like time on a clock. And okay, so it's time, let's start the service. It's not that. It's the events, the opportunities that come into your life. It's the idea of the seasonable times. We all have those seasonable times. Life is full of seasons. So as the seasons come your way, which you cannot predict, but because there are seasons, be sure to buy up those seasonable times. That's what farmers do. They see that the weather is warming up, and so they'll plant their crops. They'll turn over their ground. They will harvest based upon what they see as the season and how the season is to be bought up. Isn't that how Christians are supposed to live? Absolutely. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here that will encourage you as we work our way through the text. And this is really what may catch your eye or your thought for this year ahead. You will notice back in verse 8, this little phrase, verse 8, he says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Look at verse 10. Finding out what is the acceptable to the Lord. And then look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I would challenge you to think of 2013 as a year in which you live in the Lord, to the Lord, and of the Lord. What a text. Walk. Walk as someone who sees. Walk as a child of light. Walk as an imitator. But walk in the Lord, to the Lord, and of the Lord. Believers, take some time to worship your Lord before we turn to the communion service. I'm going to give you a moment or two to pray and speak to Him about things you've learned, and then I will conclude in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for the privilege of looking at the Word of God today. And as we have simply allowed the Scriptures to be unfolded and unpacked, I pray that You will do the work of applying it to our hearts. Father, we all desire, if we know Christ as Savior, to be successful in Your eyes, to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May this year be a year where You not only challenge us, but equip us to live in you, to you, and of you. Lord, help us to imitate you alone. Help us to live as children of light, and help us to walk circumspectly. For there are many who do not know you as Savior. I pray that we would be faithful in the midst or in the heat of the evil world in which we're surrounded. May we be faithful. May we commune with our God and commune with the saints. May this be ever more important to us. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. May we cry out to you that even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But also may we be refreshed in knowing that Jesus Christ gave himself up in our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.